Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministries, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Now let's pray and begin today's lesson in this understanding of developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Father, in Jesus' name, we come again boldly to the throne of your grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. We come as needy people, needing help to understand the Word of God and make application in our everyday life. We thank you, Father, that you didn't assign us to do this alone, but you gave us your Holy Spirit to live in us and to quicken us and to make us aware of your directions in our lives and the things that you want to do in and through us. Holy Spirit, come and have your way today as we study the Word of God. Give us understanding in our own minds and in our application in our daily life. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now today we're going to talk about spiritual gifts. And Paul says, concerning spirituals, don't be ignorant. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware, he says, about spiritual gifts. Notice the word gift is italicized in your Bible by the translators for clarification. This is because the word gift is not found in the original manuscript. Paul's expression is spirituals, which refers to spiritual graces. It's the grace of God that he gives to us, these different gifts we're going to look at. Many have interpreted Paul to be saying that the spiritual graces gifts are like a personal gift that one now possesses. This is far from what Paul had in mind. He gives us the gifts not for us to possess for ourselves, but to be used to help other people in coming to know Jesus and receiving from Christ. Today there is much ignorance regarding these spiritual gifts, just as in Paul's day. The enemy especially enjoys confusing God's people regarding spiritual gifts because he knows that if we lay hold of what God has provided in the work of the Spirit, great harm will come to his plans of resistance against the kingdom of God. Ignorance is one of the enemy's great weapons to bind up God's people in their effort to pull down demonic strongholds. The Holy Spirit has been poured out so that we might receive the Father's plans for taking back what the enemy has stolen. Paul makes it clear throughout his writings that God has provided grace in giving spirituals or grace gifts in order to help us with the tasks he has assigned. All the spirituals are available in the Holy Spirit. They are initiations of the Spirit. So if one has the Spirit of God inside, then all of these spiritual gifts are there and available. The Holy Spirit chooses when and where the gifts are to be released. Remember what Jesus said, he would not leave us as orphans, John 14:18. You are in a family surrounded by others who stand with and support you. They encourage you to move into deeper waters in the things of the Spirit. Do not be afraid to let the Holy Spirit have complete control in your life. Step out in faith and trust him to give you the exact grace you need when the opportunity presents itself. Oh, this is so important, beloved. Simply ask the Holy Spirit what it is that he wants to do at any given time. Begin right now by asking Him for a great sensitivity to His work in and through you. Father, please guide us in the exercise of spiritual gifts. I need your help daily to accomplish your will. I want to experience your love and power being released through me to others. I yield my life to the Holy Spirit to have complete control. Pray this way every day until it's part of your daily experience. So this is just a suggested way to pray. Father, please guide me in the exercise of spiritual gifts. I need your help daily to accomplish your will. I want to experience your love and power being released through me to others. I yield my life to the Holy Spirit to have complete control. And again, I'm reading it again because we want to pray this every day until it's part of our daily experience. It's nothing wrong with asking the Holy Spirit to help you in Jesus' name. He is there as the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son to accomplish the Father's will in your life. Now, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3 says, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So that doesn't come out of the natural realm. That certainly doesn't come from the demonic realm. Jesus is Lord. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When you say, Lord, I am yours. I belong to you. My life belongs to you. Lord Jesus, do with me what you want. That's the Holy Spirit leading you. The demons aren't going to lead you to pray that way. Religion isn't going to lead you to pray that way. But the Father, by the Spirit, will lead you to pray that way so that you can make known to others by the Spirit what God is saying. And so an interesting scripture follows Paul's expressed desire for believers not to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. The Corinthians had come from pagan religious background of idolatry. Idolatry by its very nature brings people under the curses of a particular religion with which it is associated. I hope you understand that. What I'm saying here is that idolatry is the very nature of religion. And religions can bring us under bondage or curses to their particular way of seeing things and doing things. We need to make sure that we're walking with the Lord Jesus. On the other hand, Jesus has delivered us from the curse. Listen what the Bible says. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. Jesus became a curse for us by bearing our sins. The good news is that he is alive from the dead, having carried our sins to hell, and he now lives in to bless those who put their trust in him. He is a king who blesses, not a king that curses. The Holy Spirit has come to enable us to say, Jesus is Lord, in every circumstance of our life. In these chapters that we're looking at from my book, Developing Your Relationship with the Holy Spirit, Paul is contrasting the believer's former life lived under curses and our new life found in the blessings from our risen King. So when you're reading 1 Corinthians about 12 about the gifts, Paul the Apostle is helping us to come into what God has provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are some that teach that these gifts ceased. It's called cessationism, that they're no longer for today. And the scripture that they stand on is in 1 Corinthians 13, that when that which is perfect is come, then that which is not perfect is done away with. In other words, the gifts are not the perfect thing. They are gifts. They're graces to help us. The perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ. So what Paul's saying in 1 Corinthians 13, when Jesus comes back, we won't need the gifts because we'll be with him. Some interpret that to mean the Bible is the perfect. The Bible is the word of God but is not the perfect. The perfect is the Logos, the living word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the perfect one, just so we can have some understanding there. And so the gifts of the Spirit are eternal. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is eternal, and because he's brought us into eternity. So it's illogical to even think that the gifts of the Spirit would be done away with. Since we have the eternal God living in us, and those gifts were given to assist us in the work that God has assigned us. And the Bible was very important to be completed. Thank God we have the Word of the Lord, the canon of God that we can turn to daily. And some nations don't have it like we do here in America. And so pray for the believers around the world that don't have the access to the Word of God like you and I have. The Holy Spirit is God's agent in the earth to help God's people overcome and throw down all idolatry. The Holy Spirit exalts the Lord Jesus through the people of God as they proclaim Jesus' lordship. They do works of power, demonstrating the kingdom of God is present and the enemy's kingdom has been defeated. There is a continual process of judgment taking place through the Lord's people until the final day of judgment before God. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm sure you've quoted that psalm before. Psalm 118, verse 24. We think in terms of days, but the Lord is thinking in terms of a day. God sees this period for the church as the day he is raising up a people who are judging the world by the Lord Jesus Christ through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Captives are set free by being delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son, Colossians 1:13 tells us. Asking the Holy Spirit to empower you with gifts so that you can share the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, not only hold on one moment here. Not only with words, but in demonstration of power by the work of the Holy Spirit. Let those gifts declare to others that Jesus is Lord. Understand the gifts that way. The gifts need to operate outside of a local church. They need to be operating in our everyday life. I am so grateful for the gifts of the Spirit. Now, also we're given fruit. And so we see the fruit of the Spirit is talked about in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Many today will be celebrating, coming up here, many are going to celebrate Valentine's Day that has been set aside to remember those we love. The love of the world has deep roots in the natural and the sensuous dimensions of love. This is not wrong when kept in the context of God's designs for man and woman. Paul contrasts love with the deeds of the flesh. This is why Paul uses the conjunction but as he begins his statement about the fruit of the Spirit, which consists of nine parts. It's one fruit, nine parts. Paul begins with love. Love is a singular action that connects us to God and to one another. Jesus summed up the law with one word, with the word love, in Matthew 22:37. In the upper room, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, love one another as I have loved you, John 15:12. Love is central to the work of the Spirit because it comes from the very nature of God himself, who is love. God's love is like light, revealing the darkness of the works of the flesh. Whether speaking of redemption or operating in the gifts of the Spirit, love must always be the motivating force. Agape love is the Father's love, a love which is always putting others first. The Holy Spirit always leads with others in mind. He came because of others. He convicts because of others. He saves because of God's love for others. In everything you do, think, how does this affect others? Become one who is thinking about the other person. You can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Excuse me. Our basic nature is a self nature, but the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us Christ's nature. This nature is a love nature. He cannot help himself because he is love. I want you to think about that. God cannot help himself because he is love. That's the only way God operates. Even when judgment comes, it comes out of God's love for mankind. God has to judge sin and disobedience, and it's a love response to people so that people can experience the very presence and the love of God. God will not let a nation get away with sin. He'll eventually judge that nation. Why? Because God is love. God wants to bring people to his love nature. And if we're disobeying him, God has to deal with it just because he's love. I want you to understand that. The gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, are rooted and grounded in love. The gifts haven't disappeared. Why? Because God is still the God of love. God hasn't changed his mind about how to express power in love to people. And he does it through other people. And he does it through graces, as we're talking about here today. Through the grace of healing, for example. We're not going to get into all the gifts of the Spirit here today. I'm trying to just lay a foundation for thinking spiritually. We're talking about gifts are spirituals. They came from the Holy Spirit. They didn't derive from a natural way. You're not healing people. If it's the gifts of healing, you're not doing it naturally. You're doing it by the power of God, by the gift of God, by the grace of God. When you prophesy, when you bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to people, it should be in the power of love, not in the power of manipulation or control or for yourself. For any other motivation other than love. That's why Paul clarifies the gifts as you go through and study the gifts. It's always in the context of love. Isn't it interesting that God gave us 1 Corinthians 13 between the 12th chapter that speaks so much about the gifts and the 14th chapter that brings greater understanding of the gifts? Isn't it amazing that God inserted the chapter on love? Unless I have love, I'm a sounding cymbal, a clanging bell, or a sounding cymbal, talking about tongues. If I don't have love, no matter what I prophesy, no matter how much I know in prophecy and what can prophesy, without love, it really is nothing. And the same thing's true in having knowledge. If I know all things and I don't have love, it just doesn't mean anything. So love is the primary basis for the spirituals that God has given. I want you to hear and understand that today. I hope this is helpful. Whether speaking of redemption or operating in the gifts of the Spirit, love must always be the motivating force. As I said, agape love, which is God's kind of love, agape, that is the Greek word for love. And it's always used in relationship to the Father's love, a love which is always putting others first. The Holy Spirit always leads the others in mind. He came because of others. He convicts because of others. And he saves because of God's love for others. In everything you do, think, how does this affect others? Become one who is thinking about the other person. You can only do this by the power of the Holy Spirit. Our basic nature, as I said earlier, is a self nature, but the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us Christ nature. His love, his nature is a love nature. He cannot help himself, as I said, because he is love. God is love, period. And so today, let's ask Christ's nature to be revealed and fully matured in us. We ask the Holy Spirit to fully accomplish the work of maturity in our lives. And you need to ask that on a daily basis. I need to ask that on a daily basis. Holy Spirit, let my life mature. Let it be a fully accomplished the work of maturity in my life so that I might operate in the nature of Christ. Now, we celebrate upcoming day, this day, today, with a choice to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him release the love of God through you to all those you touch, whether it's at work, whether it's in your family, in your community, that person at the store that you touch. Let your life be a nature of love. Let people experience love through your life. And maybe it's through prayer, praying for a particular need in somebody's life, or maybe it's giving somebody some finances or giving them a help upward. They need to step up and you're there to help them. Whatever it might be, think of it in terms of love, that you are His representative. The love of God is represented in your life and in my life. And so the Bible talks here also about the variety of the Spirit when it talks about the spiritual gifts. We're going to finish with this today. The Holy Spirit chooses many ways to manifest His presence. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul discusses 9 spiritual gifts that are manifestations of the Spirit. In verse 4, he lays the foundation for discussing the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He begins by helping us know that it is the same Spirit, regardless of the individual gifting, individual gift operating in the believer. The Holy Spirit chooses to whom He will release, manifest a particular gift. He chooses when and what gift to release. He is doing this everywhere in the earth, through many different believers. He indeed is the omnipresent God. The Holy Spirit is manifesting His gifts through the various ministries of the Lord Jesus has operating in the earth. The Spirit anoints individuals as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the Bible says in Ephesians 4. He operates through the deacons and all those who have help ministries in the body of Christ. He expresses His gifts through the administrators in the body of Christ. In fact, every believer can be used of the Spirit to express Christ's love to His body, the church, and through His body to the world. If you are a believer, you are a candidate to be used by the Spirit of God in any variety of ways. Our part in the operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to allow Him to impart the gifts He chooses at any particular time. The rationalization of our mind is our biggest problem. God does not call us to give up our mind, but rather to yield our thinking to His Word. God's promise is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, who produces God's divine nature in the believer. This is what Paul meant when he said, "We have the mind of Christ," 1 Corinthians 2:16. His divine nature was manifest in Jesus Christ and is now revealed in His children by the presence of His indwelling Holy Spirit. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to help turn our mind over to Him. Ask Him to help you let the gifts of God operate when He so chooses. Ask Him to cause you to be sensitive to the Spirit's leading and to be filled with the faith of the Son of God in every situation. Father, thank You for Your reservoir of gifts made available in the Holy Spirit. We are so grateful. I'm Your servant to be used as You do, as You choose. Lord, I pray for Your people that we might be a people of service to others, that others might always be in front of us. We might always hold others in a high esteem, ministering to them by the grace that You allow us to have, whether it's manifested in the fruit of the Spirit or whether it's manifested in the love of in the gifts of the Spirit. May we be Your vessels, shaped and formed for this day and hour in which we live. Lord, we know Your church isn't to remain inside a building. Week after week. Your church is meant to be a people that are out in the community declaring the kingdom of God by the way they live their lives, by the way they minister to others. So I pray that, Father, there would be a greater release here in San Diego of Your church in this region called San Diego and in the different cities that are represented here. Wherever Your people are, that there might be a release of spirituals, a release of Your presence, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray again today as we study these precious truths from the Word of God. We thank you so much in Jesus' precious name. Now, next week, we're going to pick up with the common good, that thought, the common good. God gives us his gifts for the common good, for the good of all. We'll pick up on that next week as we come back to this area of developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Please plan to tune in every Sunday at 6:30. You can also go to my website, which is www.sdccm.org. And at the top of the website, look for resources. And then go down to podcasts and radio. And you'll find all of the programs that we have taught here on GOD Radio. They're under resources on our website. And there's other ways to also get the broadcast. So as we close, again, let me thank you for joining us today. If you'd like a copy of any of my books, go to our website. That's www.sdccm.org/shop. And the order form is there. Just fill it out. And your contribution for the book obviously helps pay for the books, but it also helps us with the broadcast time. So we don't charge any tax because it's a contribution to the ministry. That helps you, I hope. Just drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us again at CCM P.O. Box 152-388 San Diego, California 92195. Now, again, thank you, and remember, walk with the King in all of your ways. God bless you.